My first memories are of being a kid at Berkeley, California in the early 70s. I was actually born in Tucson, but the Vietnam conflict put the kibosh on my father's PhD, so he had to stop that. And I think I wasn't aware of this, but apparently they considered Canada for a while, but ended up in Ohio, where he taught math and science to high school students because all the men were off killing other people. So he did this until he was too old to protect America from the perils of communism, and he reapplied to graduate school, this time in Berkeley. So that's the first thing I really remember. And Berkeley, it was and still is a great place to be a kid. It's incredibly, I know some of you have been to Berkeley, it's incredibly diverse, culturally, racially, socially, and people are really tolerant of differences. I probably didn't appreciate it. I know I didn't appreciate it when I lived there the first time, but I definitely did when I returned as a much bigger kid many years later to do my own PhD at UC Berkeley. And it was a great, great place to be. My world changed drastically when I was 6 and my parents moved to Salt Lake City, Utah. And I realize now when thinking about this that this brought about some major epiphanies to me, which I think have helped shape who I am as an adult. Not to slag off Utah. Utah's got a lot of redeeming features. Utah has beautiful mountains. The skiing is superb. And the canyons down south are absolutely amazing. And Salt Lake City now is actually a pretty groovy town, but back in the 70s, it was very conservative, very white, and very Mormon. Apologies to any Mormons, but we were a family of atheist, draft-dodging hippies and didn't fit in terribly well. My folks were okay because they were at the university, but I had to go to school, and school was hell. So the girls had one game. This was the game, and I'm really not making this up. They would name the boy they were going to marry, and they would name all of the dozens of kids they would have with him. And I thought this was like such a retarded waste of a recess. The boys actually played normal games, but they would not let me play. So I spent a lot of time climbing trees and reading books. My mother said I spent the first 6 months in Salt Lake looking under everything for the people. And she only realized later that the people were anyone of color or anyone that was different. I just had never been around so many white folk in my whole life. So anyway, Mrs. Oliver, I still remember this woman. She's my first grade teacher, and she was introducing Black History Month, which was a new sort of federal mandate thing. And she said to the class, "Is there anyone in class who's never met a Negro?" And of course, most of my friends back in Berkeley were some shade of brown, but I'd never heard the word Negro before. So, you know, I raised my hand with most of the class. And then she puts up this picture of Martin Luther King, and she says, "He's a famous Black American." And I, without even thinking, I blurt out, "He's not black, he's brown." And she tells me to quit being smart, and everybody in the class laughs at me, and I'm like, ugh. And so I had to wait until my parents got home. I had a lot of questions from my parents. What is this? So they explained to me that Negro, yes, it's kind of an outdated word for people of African descent, and yes, a lot of my teachers and friends back in Berkeley were African American or Black, even though they were brown, and that other of my friends were Latino. Some of them were Indian or Sri Lankan. Others were Korean and Japanese. And I was amazed. Oh, and being smart, man, I was being a smartass. My dad quickly added, but better a smartass than a dumbass, you know. And seriously, this is the best advice my dad's ever given me, you know. So this was epiphany number one was skin color really seems to matter to adults. They've got all these words to describe these people that I'd normally just thought of as, you know, their names. So it was kind of an eye-opener for me. I guess it was just the culture shock, you know. So my pop, back to my dad, he's turning 70 in a few weeks, which will be pretty awesome. He's still a hippie. He looks pretty normal these days, but back in the 70s, he looked like a total freak, you know? He had ponytail way down his back. He still has a beard, but it's pretty tidy these days. He had this enormous, you know, massive beard. He always wore faded jeans and t-shirts, usually tie-dye t-shirt. And he had this awesome suede jacket with fringe. Looked like something out of Easy Rider, you know? And anyway, so I would dread parent-teacher interviews because it meant they were, you know, it's like my mom could scrub up pretty well and look semi-normal, but my dad, Jesus, what a freak. So anyway, so one day on the weekends, we're at at a park playing ball, and I go after a ball I've missed, and there's this old lady sitting on a park bench, and she says, "Psst." She motions me over. I'm like, "Go over to see what's the deal." "Yes." She says, "Do you know that man?" And I said, "Yeah, that's Doug." And she says, "Are you going somewhere with him?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm going home with him." And she says, "I have a better idea. You should come home with me and we'll phone the police." And I'm like, and I said, "He's my father." Oh, shit. So this epiphany was best put by my buddy Marcus many years later when he said, "You can smoke dope Or you can look like you smoke dope, but if you do both, you're going to get busted. So the last epiphany, which I'll whiz through really rapidly because I know I've got like 40 seconds left. This was also Mrs. Oliver who did this. She had an in-class assignment to draw a picture of what our daddies did at work. Of course, mommy's only had one job, so they were left out of this because no one wants a bunch of kids drawing pictures of that. So I was kind of flummoxed because I knew my parents are both research scientists, and I knew they spent a lot of time in the lab, but I'd never heard them say anything about going to work. So, you know, I myself spent a lot of time in my mom's lab, like, you know, screwing around with the mice and looking at stuff under the microscope, but I really wasn't sure about where they went to work. So I raised my hand, and I call, Mrs. Oliver comes over, and she says, "What's the problem?" And I'm like, "My parents don't go to work." I'm sure she was thinking, right, unemployed hippie scums, you know. And so she said, "Well, what do they do during the day?" And I said, "Oh, they go to the lab at the university." And she says, looks really irritated, and she's like, "Draw a picture of your father at work at the university." And I'm like, by this point in the school year, there was pretty substantial dislike between us. And so I remember thinking at the time, that bitch, why doesn't she care what my mother does? Probably more importantly, I remember thinking right then and there, whatever I do when I grow up, I want to make sure I enjoy it enough that I don't ever call it work. And that's probably the best advice I've ever given myself because I love what I do. I'm surrounded by super intelligent, interesting people. I'm always learning new stuff. And I don't go to work, I go to play. So thank you.
Thanks very much, Toshi.